Hello and welcome to the WWT Tech 17 podcast, which brings together experts from WWT, our partners and our customers to talk about what's going on in the world of technology. I'm Jaz Binning, Managing Consultant at WWT, and it's great to have you all with us. In the last instalment of our podcast series, Exploring AI Ops, we heard from operations practitioner Keith Whiteside on how he defines AI Ops and the challenges facing operations at the moment. Today, we look to take one step further and look at some of the leading edge technologies in this space and how they plug a gap in this $5.7 billion industry. To help me do this, I'm joined here today by Aseem Anwar and Kingsley Hughes Morgan. Welcome, gents. Could you please introduce yourselves to our listeners?
Hi, Jaz. Great to be here today. I'm Aseem, Senior Systems Engineer specializing in CWOM. I've been in the software industry for over a decade now, helping large enterprises solve the most current problems of the day. And obviously a big one at the moment is digital transformation. So obviously we'll be talking a lot about that today.
Awesome. And Kingsley?
Hi, Jaz. Again, great to be here today. My name is Kingsley Hughes Morgan. I'm part of Cisco, specifically within the AppDynamics team. I've spent the last 10 years across enterprise architecture and strategy, experimenting with a couple of things covering performance monitoring, data analytics, software-defined networking, and network functions virtualization. And that's driven by the desire to drive down technical debt within organizations, but also streamline IT operations. And most of my work to date has led me to become invested in AI ops and leverage machine learning to start demystifying what is a truly complex IT landscape.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. Great to have you on the show with us today. Now, a common theme from both of your responses was identification of your products as being part of this AI ops ecosystem. In our previous podcast, we asked Keith Whiteside, that is, from E2 Tech, to define what he deemed AI ops to be. So let's have a listen to his definition just to remind ourselves.
Okay, well, the simplest definition that I've seen for AI ops, it's the application of artificial intelligence for IT operations.
So now it's your turn. So we'll start with Kingsley this time. How do you define AI ops?
So my definition of AI ops is a pretty simple one, and it happens to be what we call the overall goal that we have for AI ops within AppDynamics and what we're looking to achieve with it. And that's all around autonomous IT systems. And this goal has come from the fruition of maturity of technology that sits around us, like big data and artificial intelligence. Now, AI ops to me is a specialized form of artificial intelligence. And the main aim of that is to gain insight through pattern, topology, correlation, anomalies, causality, and so on. And it's probably worth mentioning at this point that although AI is something that's incredibly data hungry, it's not necessarily the fact that more data drives better insights. It's all about having prescriptive data that's directly aligned to business outcomes, in turn tying that back to IT domains.
So, Aseem, how would your definition of AI ops differ from that?
So I would agree with everything that Kingsley said. I think the important thing with the AI ops is to get to the important data, right? The problem we have in the current times we live in is that there's just too much data. So for us, it's about filtering that data, getting to the critical data, analyzing that data as fast as possible. You know, for us, it's about being real time because things are changing so fast that if you're not fast enough, you're going to miss it and you're going to, cause more problems than you fix. So getting to the key data, analyzing it quickly, and then producing actionable entities. So for us, it's about automatically remediating problems before they become bigger problems. So I think that's a big part of it. But on the whole, fully agree with everything that Kingsley defined.
That's really interesting because I see clear alignment between what you guys define AI ops to be as vendors in this space and what Keith Whiteside from our last podcast defines AI ops to be from a practitioner's perspective. Something else that's extremely interesting is that in today's organizations, in today's times, we see growing complexity in terms of environments, in terms of technology. You have now to be conscious of applications, infrastructure, middleware, hardware, software, cloud, microservices, virtualization, APIs. The list goes on and on and on.
Are you guys seeing this, you know, increasing complexity in the customers that you interoperate with? Do they face these challenges as well? So maybe a scene.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, if you think about the way that the landscape's changed over the last 10 years, and we've gone from physical to virtual, and then multiple virtualization platforms, and then we've gone into cloud, which has, you know, a lot of virtualization, but also lots of different services. And then on top of that, you've got people trying to write their own apps. And if you go back 5-10 years, people bought software, right, from a company, and they logged support tickets, and then someone supported that. Now we've got people are writing their own software. And then on top of that, we add in containerization. So we've got a massively complex stack. And I think the other thing that adds to the complexity is the user expectation, right? So, you know, when I started in IT, people logged into systems at like maybe 8 a.m. and about 6 p.m. they logged off. And in the rest of the time, you know, we ran backups and we had that whole time in the evening to make changes. And now people expect the same user experience, whether it's midday or midnight. And when you add that, you know, fluctuating demand and increasing expectation with the complexity of the stack, you know, it's huge. You know, it's enormous.
And Kingsley, how about yourself? What do you see with your customers?
I couldn't agree more with what Asim just mentioned. What we see is that digital experience is at the forefront of what every organization is looking to achieve. And the goal or the route to get there, rather, is all around digital transformation. And it's all driven by what the user expects out of an application. And however simple it may seem at the front end for the user itself, the complexity on the back end is fundamentally exploding. What we also see is that loyalty is changing because of that. We're not. Loyalty is now not to a brand, but it's more to an application and a service that you receive, which is a really interesting way to look at how businesses operate.
And I think user experience, digital transformation, that's hot on the lips of the CIO, right, and the C-suite at many of the large organisations that we all work with. So I'm going to put you guys on the spot here and ask you to kind of explain to our listeners how your products help to, you know, overcome this complexity. So let's maybe start with C1.
Yeah, so the way our platform helps is, you know, we've talked about this proliferation of different technologies, different virtualization platforms, different physical platforms, storage arrays, hyperconverged, different public cloud vendors, containerization, and obviously people writing their own apps on top. CWOM is able to agentlessly, so just using APIs, pull in data from all these discrete data sources, build one real-time analytic, which combines our data together, understands the relationships from the code all the way through the physical infrastructure, and then analyzes that data and generates actions to drive the performance, to drive the compliance, to reduce the cost, all through automated actions.
So in essence, it's abstracting, you know, it's irrespective of whether it's on the public cloud or whether that workload sits on premise.
Absolutely, yeah. It's platform agnostic. It supports, you know, everything that we see in the enterprise environment, and we are moving very, very fast. You know, if you think about, you know, a couple of years back, cloud was new. No one really knew that much about containers. We talked about Docker. Now we've got, you know, multiple cloud vendors that are huge. We've got so many different flavors of Kubernetes. And basically what we're doing is we're just trying to stay one step ahead, because there's no point me sitting here saying we support everything, because next year there'll be a new technology. And what we will do is develop our platform to support that. We are releasing code, you know, every 2 weeks, because the environments are changing so fast.
Great. And I guess, Kingsley, from an AppDynamics perspective, how is your product set up to handle all this complexity?
That's a great question. I mean, our heritage is focusing on new technology and the cloud and how we support that, although we're also cognizant of the fact that lots of our customers have legacy technology in there as well. So what we're making sure that we do is have end-to-end visibility across a number of different technologies, from adopting new to supporting old. And the take that we have on AIOps is all built around what we call the central nervous system for IT operations. And you can kind of think of it like the human central nervous system, where you have a number of sensors, you take data in, you make sense of that, and then act accordingly. Now, what we like to look at from a data collection perspective, because fundamentally it starts with visibility into an environment, is there's five core domains. There's the business side, the application side, the infrastructure side, network and security. And regardless of what environment they sit in, you need visibility into it, whether it be on-prem, whether it be in the cloud, private, public, or alternatively in a colo. But it's all about getting that prescriptive data into a place where you can start to correlate it. Having disparate data in many different places doesn't necessarily unlock AI ops in general. Now, the final piece of that puzzle is, let's just actually recap. So you have visibility, you have insight, and then finally you have action. It's about being able to take the right data and then understand that data and trigger an action off the back of it. And the idea behind that is you start to remove some of the manual effort associated with it.
That's great to hear. But to challenge you once more, I've understood how AppDynamics deals with complexity. I've understood how CWOM deals with complexity. Now, how do both of those products work in unison? How do they work together?
Yeah, so I'll take that one. The way I look at it and the way that our customers see the value is that by using the two technologies together, you've got AppD running, you know, and pulling in data at the code level. You know, that line of code is slow, that query is not running very well. Understanding that, the application topology, and then combining that with the full stack visibility of CWOM, you really do get that visibility from the code all the way down through to the physical node. And then by analyzing that full stack, whether it's a code level issue, whether it's a query, whether it's an application flow issue, whether it's a sizing issue, a capacity issue, a placement issue, you know, really can get full coverage of any kind of application-based issue by using the two technologies together.
So in summary there, it sounds like by integrating the two technologies, you can really monitor and maintain more. It's the full stack that you get that visibility and actionable insight into.
Absolutely.
Just to add on to that, actually, what I believe the joint value to be is application-assured infrastructure. I mean, can you imagine a world where you're able to ensure that no application performance issue is related to the underlying infrastructure because it essentially fixes itself? That's going to be a huge part of an AI ops strategy. And anyone in IT that's embarking on a digital transformation initiative is facing that same problem. It's about doing more with less, but it's also about keeping up with the demands of the business whilst making sure that there's no complaints coming from the user side so that the customer experience is seamless. And I think that there's actually more emphasis than ever before on delivering this seamless experience. And I'd go as far to say as it's probably a new competitive playing field, almost called digital experience. And with customer experience being at the heart of that and experiences on the front being far more simple than they ever have before, that back-end complexity is exploding. And businesses now need to take a front step to that, move away from being reactive and start to become proactive.
So to pick up on a point you made there, Kingsley, you spoke about doing more with less, and that's the theme of this podcast. Asim, could you add some colour here in terms of when we talk about doing more with less, the more being the environmental complexity, what is meant by less?
Yeah, so really what we see is that the only way that operations teams can do more with less is to leverage automation. Right, you know, one operations guy, you know, is only capable of doing a finite amount of work. But when we start to automate some of these tasks, some of these more, you know, basic tasks that the software can pick up on and make the changes without any human interaction, it frees up those guys to be more proactive. And so instead of firefighting and waiting for something to break and trying to solve a problem after it's occurred, the problem gets solved proactively. And then those guys are free to deal with the more innovative things and to actually get the digital transformation going and to get the, you know, the cloud migration or the rewriting of the application or whatever the innovative thing is that that team really needs to be getting on with.
I understand that, but again, to play devil's advocate here, how can we really justify increasing our spend on what's effectively going to be software licenses, it's going to be installation services, it's going to be ongoing service costs, maintenance costs? How are we going to justify that when there's this, you know, overarching agenda to drive out cost?
When you look at CIO's digital transformation agendas, reimagining the application experience is typically at the heart of that. It means that businesses are investing in ways that they interact with their customer base, because they need to do that to survive and to thrive, and it's a never-ending race. And it's interesting that investing in software that enables this world of AI ops helps reduce the mean time to resolution. And because parts of that cycle are automated, from detecting to identifying to fixing and verifying, if you automate that whole cycle, you can spend or reduce the amount of time spent in managing these environments. Understandably, problems need to be discovered in a timely manner. And an interesting stat around that is 58% find out from users calling or emailing an organization's help desk.
Well, 58%. And what does that mean in terms of monetary value?
In terms of monetary value, when these incidents are critical and the mean time to resolution is circa 7 hours, it costs an organization on average around $400,000 to fix that.
Yeah, so that's a huge amount of money, and businesses really need to get this right. What we see is that the software generally pays for itself very, very quickly, and the average ROI is around 90 days, and it does it in a number of ways. The first one is around performance. If your application performance can be improved so that the response time is better and the throughput of business transactions has increased, that's an increase in revenue. And then there's also actual savings as byproducts of the analytics. So for example, by automating tasks and remediating problems before they become problems, that reduces the number of tickets you actually receive. And there's cost savings there because that ticket's never generated, no one looks at it, and no one's time is consumed. Over and above that, the way the analytic works and the optimization that it produces reduces the actual requirement for infrastructure. So whether it's on-prem and a reduction in the actual hardware and software licensing, or in the cloud where it's very tangible. When you're paying for things on a per minute or hour basis, if we can right-size those workloads to use less resource whilst assuring the performance, the cost savings are huge. And in the cloud, we're generally seeing on average 20 to 40% reduction in cloud costs. So all of these things combined together allow the software to just pay for itself.
So just to be clear, Jazz, it's not necessarily just about cost stripping, although that's definitely a part of the output. It's also about unifying this cross-domain data. It's about finding issues faster, detecting anomalies quicker, but also identifying the root cause of problems, then automating these fixes and associated tedious tasks to drive greater productivity. That then allows teams to start working on more strategic endeavours.
It's clear to see that there's a strong business case for the use of these two technologies in unison. And that's the topic of our next podcast in this AI Ops series. We'll take a deep dive on the huge amounts of data that operations teams now have to deal with, which can make it hard to spot and fix problems. We'll then look at how businesses can use AI Ops to cut through the noise and pinpoint the causes of application performance issues and platform downtime, and explore the wider implications that this has on the business. Make sure to join us next time, and if you haven't already, please remember to subscribe to the Tech17 podcast. For now, thanks again to Aseem Anwar and Kingsley Hughes-Morgan. We'll see you again soon.